At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The son of a former Texas governor has launched his bid to unseat the current governor. Andrew White held a rally today in Houston. The investor is promising to campaign as a conservative Democrat. His father, Mark White, served as governor in the 1980s and died in August. Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez announced her candidacy yesterday. Democrats haven't captured the Texas governorship since Ann Richards won in 1990. Republican Greg Abbott has no serious GOP primary challenger, and he already has more than $40 million in campaign funds. Sexual harassment allegations are rocking the world of arts, entertainment, and media. In Dallas, in the last month, a curator from the Dallas Museum of Art resigned, and an administrator at the Dallas Theater Center was fired. Art Zijkstrom Weeks looks at factors that make the problem pervasive.
Lee Trull was fired from the Dallas Theater Center Monday for what the theater called inappropriate behavior. Katie Tai is one woman who says she experienced that behavior. Today, she's co-founder of Prism Co. Movement Theater. 4 years ago, she was a 19-year-old SMU theater student. Trull was the DTC's casting director. He sent her a friendly Facebook message. Eventually, Trull's messages turned flirtatious, Tai says, then explicit. He touted the benefits of sex with an older man like himself. Trull was in his early 30s at the time. She saved the Facebook messages, though she never reported the situation to the theater center.
I could probably blow off the messages as like, what a skeez. But I was a student at the time, and he was casting out of our student pool. So to blow off the biggest player in hiring young women, it's not even shooting yourself in the foot. It's a gut shot.
Trull did not return KERA's calls for comment. These kinds of power imbalances are not unique to theater, or art galleries, or opera companies. They are behind most workplace harassment cases. And harassment needn't be a blatant request for sex or inappropriate touching. Legally, harassment's a form of sex discrimination. It can be verbal abuse, making a female employee feel unwelcome as a woman. But the arts are supposedly different. Relationships are what makes things work in the arts, and those relationships are fluid. You hire me one season, the next season I may know a designer you could use. And Tai says that creates pressure to go along.
You try to like put up the blinders to what maybe is actually happening, and you just try to keep like a good relationship with the person.
The whole industry has this lubricant of people not burning bridges when they leave and people maybe looking the other way.
Joanna Grossman is an SMU law professor who specializes in sex discrimination. And she says the arts are not really all that different. Women face these same issues throughout our economy.
Women are always making this sort of cost-benefit determination. You know, what will my life look like if I go forward? What will my life look like if I ignore this? And mostly what women find is that when they complain, their lives actually get a little bit worse rather than a little bit better.
That's one reason women and men often don't go public when harassment first happens. They figure they'll probably suffer for it. And odds are they're right.
50% to 60% of people who complain about harassment in a workplace will suffer some kind of tangible retaliation.
But Katie Tai had another reason not to complain.
I wasn't an employee of the theater center. I never have been. Like, I wouldn't even know who to go to at the theater center.
Most arts organizations have no human resource department. And most young actors, or singers, dancers, designers, musicians, they're all freelancers. Grossman says these issues also extend beyond the arts. Most small businesses don't have human resource departments either.
We've always had freelancers, but the size of the gig economy puts so many more people in harm's way, right? If you are an independent contractor, you more or less have no protections.
The arts are also now borrowing the bland terminology of corporations. At the DMA, curator Gavin Delahunty apologized for his inappropriate behavior when he resigned. That's the same phrase the theater center used when firing Lee Trull. The lack of detail is deliberate, says Grossman.
Mostly what institutions are trying to do is minimize liability.
In the last week on social media, some have expressed anger that the words sexual harassment weren't used. Inappropriate behavior sounds vague, even benign. They say institutions should take responsibility for naming what happened. Grossman says she really sees only one remedy for harassment.
It has to come from the industry. It has to come from the people who structure things that they crack down.
Grossman would like to take hope from the Me Too movement. But at the end of the day, she says, victims shouldn't be responsible for making changes. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
A town hall meeting about creating standards of conduct for theaters is scheduled for Monday night at Arts Mission Oak Cliff. Seating's limited. For details, visit artandseek.org. And tune in tomorrow for the Friday conversation. Joanna Grossman talks with Rick Holter about whether all these headlines are producing fundamental changes. That's tomorrow at 8:20 on Morning Edition. We are in the midst of a real Christmas tree problem. Nationally, we have fewer trees this season, but never fear. As Jimmy Moss with KUT Austin reports, you can still find plenty of trees in parts of the state. They just may not be the ones you want.
First, the good news. If you're wanting to buy a real tree this Christmas, you're likely to find one. The bad news? It will be shorter, a touch more expensive, and perhaps take you a bit longer to find than years past. Remember, this is a crop, and like any other crop, there are good years and bad. North Carolina produces the second most trees in the United States each year. Most of those come from one county.
If you look at our average sales in Ashe County for the past 3 to 4 years, we've been right at 3.5 million trees getting sent out of our county.
Travis Birdsell is with the North Carolina State University Cooperative Extension in Ashe County. Sounds pretty good. Output's the same, right?
But I would say if you did a deeper look at the sizes that are going out, you probably have constricted a little bit on the upper end.
That means on top of a national tree shortage, we're getting shorter trees.
Oh, heck yeah. Oh, yeah. We're seeing it firsthand.
That's Jimmy Cohen. He's owner of Papa Noel Christmas Trees. He's a tree farmer in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. Every year, he loads up 20 tractor trailers of mainly Fraser firs to sell in Austin and San Antonio.
Well, this is our farmer's market, really. It's got some distance to it, but, you know, it is farm, not farm to table, it's farm to living room.
In addition to the trees he culls from his farm, he orders Noble and Douglas firs from the Pacific Northwest to fill up the selection at his roadside stands here in Austin. Cohen says this year there were fewer farms supplying trees, which drove up wholesale costs as much as 45%. And while you might think weather could be a culprit, you'd be wrong.
We did have a lot of farmers there that had were forced out of business in the recession in 2008-09. Their money sources dried up. They couldn't replant. And since a tree takes 10-plus years to grow, we're just now seeing the ramifications of what happened 8, 9, 10 years ago.
And there's another problem at the root of all this.
There are fewer young people who were continuing on in their parents' footsteps and becoming Christmas tree growers. So there are fewer and fewer farmers who are willing to plant a crop that takes 10 years to get to fruition.
And that's just for what he calls the money tree, one ranging between 6 and 8 feet tall. Relatively speaking, these are the big sellers and the size where growers can get the most money per acre. Texas also produces Christmas trees, though only about 1% of North Carolina's tree output. About a quarter of those are grown in Bastrop County. Mike Walterscheidt and his wife Beth own Evergreen Farms in Elgin. He was once the Associate Forestry Department head at Texas A&M University. The couple has been running cut-your-own tree farms for 3 decades, and for them, 2017 is a pretty good year.
Our crop is probably the best crop we've had for 10 or 12 years.
The Virginia pine Watershed plants can grow to 7 feet tall in just 5 years because of the longer Texas growing season. He says they have a good number of 4 to 8 foot trees ready for customers, but if you go, don't expect too many taller. Jimmy Cohen of Papa Noel says they likely will only get more expensive.
Frankly, I think growers are demanding and getting prices that aren't sustainable in this industry, yet they keep doing it.
Which means to control costs for both growers and retailers, they will meet somewhere in the middle. Faster crop rotations, shorter trees, and higher prices per foot for you.
That was Jimmy Moss reporting from Austin. And a cold front has arrived, and it's delivering a burst of cold air across North Texas. Expect temperatures to dip into the 20s tonight, and even into the upper teens for areas to the north and west of Dallas-Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.